10 minutes before 7 o'clock. If you're familiar with UBC, you probably know the Gage Towers, student residences. But do you know anything about the man those buildings are named after? Well, Walter Gage spent most of his life at UBC, starting as a student back in 1921, and tonight marks the official release of The Age of Walter Gage, how one Canadian shaped the lives of thousands. And Margaret Gallagher headed out to UBC to talk to some of the people behind this biography, and they met near the old mathematics building.
Well, I'm Jim McEwen. I'm one of the people who thought we should be telling the story of Walter Gage, and I twisted Shelley's arm to be the author.
Yes, and I'm Shelley Fralick. I wrote the Gage book, and yes, he twisted my arm to write the book.
So in a nutshell, who is Walter Gage?
He was Mr. UBC. So he was 73 when he died. He spent 57 of his 73 years at UBC as a student. He got his BA and his MA, and then he became a professor, and ultimately in 1969, he was president of the university. So he was known throughout the campus for his generosity, for his wild, crazy teaching style with chalk dust flying everywhere, for his humbleness. He was Mr. UBC.
This is the old math building, which has been used to teach mathematics since the 1940s, probably earlier. And this is one of the places where Gage taught math to students, including students during World War II, when he actually was a reserve officer and taught flying officers as well as normal, regular students.
Gage was such a popular teacher on campus that students lined up to get it. They were always overcrowded. There were people standing in the back. He was funny. He was sort of bombastic. There was, as I say, he's always wore an impeccable suit. And his suit would be covered with chalk dust because he'd be scribbling stuff. He knew every student by name. And, for instance, when the Hereditary Chief Bill Wilson took his class, he remembers walking in, and the story's in the book, he remembers walking in and being really frightened, just sort of scared and overwhelmed first time on campus. He sits down, Gage does a roll call, he gets to Bill, and he says, your name, and Bill says, Bill Wilson. He says, oh, and he rattled off all of Bill Wilson's brothers and sisters who had been in his classes previously. And Bill said it was made him feel at home, and it really made his year. That's the kind of teacher he was.
So we're passing the old main library and heading towards the cement-looking Buchanan building. This is where you actually met him.
Well, I was one of the ones who was actually registered in this course, so I got a seat. Others were lining the stairway to listen to the lecture, and Shelley was right. He did remember the name of every student there. Years later, walking around campus, he'd walk up and say, how's it going, Jim? How are you doing financially? And when I said, well, things are a little tight, he invited me to his office upstairs, and lo and behold, there was a $500 bursary. Again, with the theme he always had, that if this helps you in some way, if I've helped you, then I'd wish, if your circumstances permit, you'd consider paying it forward, doing the same for somebody else.
And he used to leave his car.
Well, he left his car parked near the building. In those days, you could park near the building. And he would leave his keys on the desk. And if a student needed to run an errand or needed to do something, they would just go and take the keys and use the car. He totally never questioned it. And the keys were left out, right? And he would sit in his office and he would take appointments. But people could just walk in. So if a student walked in and said, you know, I want to get into this course, but I'm, a couple hundred dollars, I don't know what I'm going to do financially, he would talk to them about it and figure out a way, either a bursary or whatever it would be. Or he was known very often just to simply reach into his pocket and give somebody like $100 and say, pay me back or don't, it's fine.
So we're going to leave the Buchanan building and we're going to walk over to where the faculty club used to be, because I understand, Jim, that you had encounters with him there as well.
Yes, well, this was an era when Jerry Rubin came to campus, who was leader of a group called the Yippies. And he asked what was the most exclusive place on campus where students were not allowed to go. Well, that was the faculty club, no students allowed. So there was a big protest march over to the faculty club. Students invaded it, sat down, broke open the wine cellar, stripped naked and swam in the pool. And it was very symbolic of the 1960s. But it also symbolized that changes were needed at the university. And Gage managed that very well.
The students wanted more say in how the university was run. The administrators and Gage came in and said, okay, well, we'll look into that. And ultimately what happened was the UBC board allowed students for the first time to sit on the board.
And the Senate. I was one of the first student senators.
So we're moving west, and we're at another
heritage-looking buildings at UBC.
So this is where Gage's office was when he was named president in 1969. He served as president until 1975. One of the interesting stories about his presidency was he was offered, as all presidents are, what was called the White House, which is a huge, huge property, the president's residence on Marine Drive, overlooking the water, huge property, you know, gardeners, tennis courts, the whole thing. He said, yeah, no, I don't need that. He was a bachelor. He lived with his mother in a lovely little walk up on South Grapple, which is still there. And he said, no, I don't need that big place, so rent it out or whatever. So UBC tried to rent it out, $25,000 a year lease, no takers. So they came back to him and said, you know, no takers. He said, okay, we're going to use it for classrooms, and that's what they did.
I would call him the reluctant president because he was asked to serve as, first of all, acting president and then president because nobody else could fulfill the role. The previous president left suddenly after less than a year in office because of the turbulence of the times. So Gage was considered to be the only person who could lead the university. He did that very, very well. But in some respects, he was like a fish out of water. He would much rather have been across the street teaching students and helping students succeed at university. But he did it, and he did a superb job. In everybody's opinion, he was the heart and soul of the university for many years, and I think his legacy exists in the hearts and minds of people who he taught and who had interaction with them. And that pay it forward theme that he had all through his life is reflected in the behavior of many of those people.
Well, thanks for sharing your story.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
LUBC, our glorious university.
Stand for I, between the mountains and the sky.
Fight on for old UBC, with pledge our loyalty to thee, to America's land. Fight on, to
That is the Early Edition's Margaret Gallagher speaking with Shelley Frelich, the author of The Age of Walter Gage. Jim McEwen, you heard from as well. He's a former student. And the book launches tonight at the University Golf Club. We have a copy to give away to the first person to email us, earlyed@cbc.ca, earlyed@cbc.ca. You have to answer this question. In September of 1922, then-student Walter Gage took part in a protest march to demand the completion of UBC's Point Grey campus. What is that protest march known as today? What is that protest known as today? Once again, email us, earlyed@cbc.ca. Answer the question. You'll get a copy of the book. It's 2.5 minutes before 7 o'clock.
Good morning, Steve.